John is an interesting book. When you get to looking at the book of John, it's unique by itself. The other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have some uniqueness about them, but the book of John is just interesting. You'll find words in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that you will not find in the book of John, and it's just unique. I don't know how to explain it, but I like to study my Bible and try to learn, and the Bible is just a very unique book. And you'll find that in the book of John, for instance, leprosy or a leper is not found in John. For instance, the city of Jericho, you'll find that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but you won't find Jericho in John. And so there's words that are in the other Gospels, but they're not mentioned in John. And then there's words that are mentioned in John, and they are mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but they're very evident in the book of John. When you get to reading the book of John, I mean, it's like it just jumps off the page at you. For instance, the word water. You find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but you'll drown in John if you ain't careful. I mean, there's a lot of water in John. And you get to going through the book of John. John chapter number 1, Jesus is baptized in water. John chapter number 2, he turned water into wine. John chapter number 3, he told Nicodemus, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. John chapter number 4, told that woman at the well, said, I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again. John chapter number 5, at the appointed time, the angel of the Lord would come down and stir the water. John chapter number 6, Jesus walked on the water. John chapter number 7, said, for out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so if you're not careful, you'll drown in John. Because when you get to reading your Bible and you get to studying the Word of God, there's things that the Lord will bring to your attention as you study. And that's why I like the Bible. I love the Bible.
Amen.
And you and I as Christians, as born-again believers, this is our food.
Yes.
This is how you survive.
Amen.
As a Christian.
That's right.
And it's the Bible. I read one thing. I heard this said. I don't remember who said it. I believe it was my grandmother. I've got books. I've got somewhat of a library, and I try to read and try to study and learn about the Bible. But the Bible to the child of God is the only book that you'll read where the author is always present.
Amen.
Now there's been times where I've picked up a book and I've met the author and I've glanced through it while he was standing by me. But every time I read this book, the author for the child of God, he's always there. And I love my Bible. And I appreciate God's Word. And I challenge you to read your Bible. Or study your Bible. John chapter number 10. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he hath put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help us now as we try to preach for just a few moments. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be clear in our speech. And God, I pray that you'll help us to have the willingness to do whatever you ask us to do. And Lord, if there's someone here lost and don't know you, God, I pray that you'll awaken them and show them their need of salvation. And Lord, there's someone here maybe cold or backslid on you and not where they need to be. God, I pray that you'll help them and bring them back to you. And then Lord, for the child of God that just needs some encouragement, God, I pray that you'll help us through the Word of God be an encouragement to them. In your name we pray, amen and amen. Now here in John chapter number 10, we read about where Jesus talked of himself as being the door. And we find here that the Bible speaks, we're talking God Almighty robed in flesh and came to this earth. And he said, I am the door. And we're talking God brought himself all the way down to something as common as a door. And I got to thinking, our Lord sets himself forth in this light very, very low. And if you read the text here, when he's talking about I am the door, he's meaning a sheep door. And I got to reading and studying, and the sheep door is the lowest and the most simplest door you can think of. But Jesus speaks of himself as the door. And you find back in Philippians chapter number 2, where Jesus, the Bible talks about Jesus, he emptied himself. He who was rich for our sakes became poor. He came to this earth so that you and I could have life.
Amen.
And had not he come, we would not have no life. He didn't have no place to lay his head. He had no money to pay the taxes. He had no coat to ride upon. No grave to which he was to be buried. He didn't have nothing when he came to this earth. He emptied himself of that which he had. Because we're talking about God.
Amen.
And yet he lowered himself to become what you and I are.
Yes, sir.
He that created the world and created you and I took upon him the creation in which he created. And that's the God you and I serve.
Yes, sir.
And we find here that when he came to this earth, taking the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient to death.
Yes, sir.
And he became man. And you find that not in sinful flesh, but in its likeness. He wasn't no sin in him. But he was created as you and I. And you find here in John chapter number 10 that he's talking about how when he's talking to these Jews, he said, I am the door. And it's something very simple. How many of y'all use the door today? Amen. It's very simple. It's a normal object. We use it every day. But this tears me up, brother. How often do you use a door and you consider what the Lord said when he said, I am the door? So often we use the things that Jesus made reference of himself as being, and yet we never consider that he said, hey, I am the door. If you're going to build a house, or if you're going to build a building and you have no way of getting in, no door, there's no sense in building it.
Right. Amen.
And yet, our the Lord, there was no way to get to heaven until our door was hung at Calvary.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I am the door. And so that means that there's no way to get in except through the door. And I got to thinking about the door as being a common object. I read a story of a man as he traveled in Israel, and he saw some sheepfolds, and the design of them was a C shape. Kind of like a horseshoe. And he asked the question, this man did, to the shepherd, where is the door? And the shepherd's response was, I am the door. That shepherd laid down where that gap was at night for the sheep. And he was that door. And so it was at Calvary that day. Yeah, there were walls around, but there wasn't no door hung till that day at Calvary.
Amen.
And Jesus is the door.
Amen.
If you've not went in by the door, you've not been born again by the grace of God. You've got to go in by the door. And so we see that Jesus spoke of himself as being the door. And I got to thinking about it. First of all, you look at the necessity of the door. Suppose there had been no door, you and I would still be dying in our sin, going to hell. But He, the Lord Jesus, said they need a door. And He said, I'll go and I'll be the door.
Amen.
And we find that God Himself, we would never have been able to enjoy the things of God or the salvation of God had it not been for our door.
Amen.
Not only do you see the necessity of the door, but you see the singularity of the door. He said, I am the door. There's not but one door. There's not a bunch of different ways. It's just one way, and He's the way. There's only one door. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Yes, sir.
There's no other way. The singularity of the door. He's the only way. And then I got to reading and thinking about the personality of the door. Here in John chapter number 10 and verse number 9, Jesus said, I am the door. He didn't really hang a door. He became the door. He is the door. It's not an it. It's not a fixture or a thing that's hanging necessarily. But it's God Almighty, the Lord Jesus, robed in flesh. He is the door. He's the door. It's not ceremonies. It's not professions. It's not achievements. It's not being baptized.
That's right.
It's a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus.
That's right, preacher.
Amen.
So many people, they think if they count beads, if they get baptized, if they go around doing good, it's going to get them to heaven, but that ain't going to get them to heaven.
That's right, preacher.
Amen.
You're right.
It's the door. You know, he loved man so much that he left heaven and came to earth. I read of D.L. Moody, a man come to D.L. Moody one time, and he asked Brother D.L. Moody, he said, why did God hate Esau? And D.L. Moody looked at him and said, no, said that ain't the question. Said the question is, why did he love Jacob?
Amen.
And if you and I would let that sink in our heart, why would God want to come to where we are and show mercy on you and I? It don't make sense.
Yeah, you're right.
But God, in His grace and in His mercy, came to where you and I are and showed mercy.
Praise God.
I'll never forget the night that God opened my eyes and showed my lost condition. Been raised in church all my life. But I wasn't a drunk, I wasn't an alcoholic, I wasn't a dope head, but I was a just a little boy on a church pew, raised in church all my life. And one day God opened my heart up and showed me that I was lost and on my way to hell. And He said, "Son, I am the door. And by the grace of God, mercy of God, I'm glad that God showed grace to me."
Amen.
So that I could enter in at the door. And we find about the door. And here in John chapter number 9, or John chapter number 10 and verse number 9, we find the Bible says, "I am the door. By me, if any man..."
Amen. Amen.
If any man, we find that the privileges of those that enter, it's a whosoever will. It's not a select group, but whosoever will, let him come. If he's willing to come in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus, if he's willing to come that way, not by his works, not by doing good, but by the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's willing to come that way, the Bible says here in verse number 9, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." We see the salvation. He shall be saved. It's amazing how that man has conjured up and thought of all these different avenues, and it's Satan. Any way to keep Satan, it's the same way as preacher said this morning. It don't matter what it is. If you're into playing ball, and nothing's wrong with ball, but when ball trumps God, something's wrong with it. I know people that play ball and they live a good life. They're not bad people. But then it don't matter if it's that way or if it's a drug addict. Whatever it is to keep you from Christ, that's what the devil will use. It don't matter what it is. But if you don't enter in and be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. So we look at, he shall be saved. We see salvation. And then not only in that, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "shall be saved and shall go in and out." We find that those that enter in by the door and get saved by the grace of God, you and I as children of God, we have liberty that we didn't have before. We find this is not a prison door, but a door for a flock whose shepherd gives freedom.
Amen.
I'm glad as a child of God, it's not that I don't get to drink. It's I don't want to drink alcohol. It's not that I don't get to do drugs and have a good time. Hey, if you knew how good a time I had, it would blow your mind. I mean, it's amazing getting to go to the house of God and be around people of God and wake up the next morning and not have a hangover.
Amen.
And I've never drank alcohol, but I've talked to people and I've heard people's testimony. But it's good to be able to get around the things of God and have that freedom as a child of God to be able to do what you want. Not that you desire it, but you have the liberty. Hey, I don't want to drink it. I don't want to do the things of the world.
Amen.
And we have that freedom as children of God. We have that liberty to go in and out. And then we see the, not only do you think about those things as privileges of a child of God, but when you think about the door, the nourishment you find and shall find pasture. You know, when you come to the house of God and you hear the preaching preached, it nourishes you. It gives you something to go on for. And Jesus here said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the door. And I got to thinking about doors. There's a lot of doors in the Bible. You go through the Word of God, you'll find a lot of doors. And I got to thinking about the first time the door's ever mentioned. Genesis chapter number 4, where Cain killed Abel. And God told Cain, he said, "Sin lieth at the door." And that's the way it is with everybody. If you've been born again by the grace of God, before you was born again, you had the same problem as everybody else. There was a sin at your door. And before you get saved, and before you and I got saved, we had to deal with the sin that lied at our door.
Yeah.
And every person is going to have to deal with that.
Yes, sir.
And so we see with Cain, sin lieth at the door. We find that Cain, he killed Abel. God told Cain, sin lieth at the door. We find Cain, his unbelief, his pride, his carelessness, his stubbornness, and ended up being murdered. Because he would not take care of the sin that was lying at his door. You and I, as children of God, before we got saved, we had to deal with that sin.
Yes.
And if you're here today lost, you'll have to deal with that sin. You'll have to deal with it. Not only do you find the first door in John or Genesis chapter number 4 with Cain, but then you go to Genesis 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah, amen.
And you find a storm at the door. You know, storms are real. It's not a fake thing. People, we're all human beings, and every one of us go through storms in our life. We go through things in our life that are very, very... I mean, I'm a young feller. A lot of you older people probably have went through a lot more than I've ever went through in my life. But storms are real. Things you go through in your life, it's just not a big game. And people have real problems. But I'm glad that even though I've got real problems and you've got real problems, I'm glad I've got a real God.
Amen.
I ain't got Buddha and I ain't got Muhammad and all them other, they're all dead.
You're right.
But I've got a God that is worried about little old me.
Amen.
And worried about you. And He's interested in you. And we find that here in Genesis chapter number 6, God was interested in Noah in that storm. He was willing to try to help Noah through the storm. And so when you have storms in your life, I'm glad that He's my door. You think about over there in Genesis chapter number 6, 7, 8, where God told Noah to build the ark. There was dimensions on the whole boat except the door. There's no dimensions on that door. There's no measurements given on that door. That tells me whosoever will.
Amen.
I don't think that there's an elect group.
Right.
Now, if you reject, you are going to go to hell. But if you'll accept the Lord through repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus,
amen.
I believe whosoever will. And so we see the size of the door. You think about it. The same door that the elephant walked in is the same door that the cat walked in.
Yes, sir.
Same door. So we see the size of the door. But then you think about the strength of the door. Did you know that door, through the whole storm, took the beating and not those that was on the inside? And so it is with you and I. We don't have to take the wrath of God.
Amen.
But our door, the Lord Jesus, took that wrath for us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then you see, there came a time when that door was shut. The Bible says that God shut the door. Man didn't. God did. God right now is showing grace. You may be sitting here lost, and God's showing you mercy and grace. But one day, God's going to shut that door.
Yes, sir.
And when God shut the door, nobody got in.
Amen.
You're right, preacher.
Amen.
Nobody got in. Preacher was teaching this morning, did a great job. And he got talking about how the devil is very deceptive. He's been doing it since in the garden. So he's got real good at it. I'm fixing to close, but I want to read this to you about how deceptive Satan is. Go to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. I'm going to close here in just a moment, but I want to read this to you and show you how deceptive Satan is. Matthew chapter number 7. And I'm talking about the Lord as being our door. I'm glad that you and I, as children of God,
amen,
have a door. But if you're here lost this morning, devil, he's going to try and deceive you from walking into that door, from going to that door. And in Matthew chapter number 7, and begin reading in verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Here we find this is the great day. This is the day of the great white throne judgment. They've been in hell at least 1,000 years. Yeah. At least.
Right.
Cain's been there since the beginning nearly.
Yeah.
And in that day, God's going to bring them up out of hell. And the first thing they're going to do when they come up out of hell, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, in thy name, didn't we do this? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out devils? And in thy name. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Now you can do all the good you want to do. You can do everything right. No matter what it may be, you can have it lined out right. But if you've not been born again by the grace of God,
amen,
you'll end up in that place called hell. These people in this text right here, when they're brought up out of hell and they're standing before God, they're like, God, you made a mistake.
Amen.
We did all this in your name and for you. And the Lord is going to stand there and he's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. We're talking about utter deception.
Yeah,
to go to hell and be there for at least 1,000 years and to come up out of hell and still think that you was done wrong. To think that you should be in that place called heaven. My friend, it's a serious thing, this thing of salvation, this thing of being born again.
That's right, preacher.
Because the devil, like the preacher taught this morning, he's wanting to deceive people. That's why, and it's the truth. He don't mind, it's just staying away from Christ. It ain't what you're doing, just as long as you don't come to the door. And my friend, if you're here this morning lost, Jesus said, I am the door.
Yeah.
By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I'm glad that I got a door. And I'm glad that one day the Holy Ghost of God convicted my heart and showed me my need of salvation.
Amen.
Is it your door this morning? This ain't deep. I'm not a deep preacher. I mean, if you don't understand the door, we need to get you some help. Amen.
Amen.
We use doors every day. I mean, you pull open a refrigerator door, and there's provision inside what you need.
Yeah.
He's the same way.
Amen.
I'm glad he's whatever you need.
Yes, amen.
Is he your door? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time. God, I preached what you laid on my heart. And Lord, if there's someone here lost, and they think that everything's okay, they can play the part on the outside, everything looks real good. But down in the depths of their soul, between them and you, they know something wrong. God, I pray that you'll help them. And God, I pray that you'll make it clear to them this thing of salvation. And then, Lord, for those that's here this morning that's been saved by the grace of God, help us to get in our mind and in our heart and be thankful that one day that door was hung at Calvary. And Lord, help us to realize that without the door, ain't no way we could enter in anyways. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, I want to give you all the honor and all the glory for everything that's been done today. Lord, it ain't man. It ain't what we're doing, but it's what you've done. In your name we pray, amen. If you need to come to this altar, you come ahead. You mind the Lord.